Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, these times that we're in, help us, Lord, every day to just seek you out, Lord, for the daily direction. Father God, a lot of times we've been getting distracted from the news here and the news over there, but the real news is right there in that word. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for placing it in our hearts to stay with it. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that are happening, all the things that you are involved with, and that's everything. I don't know how you keep up with it all, but you do, and that's supernatural things that you do, Lord, for us. And we praise you for it, Father. Things that we never thought were possible are happening. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. Lord, be with us tonight. Lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to talk about. And we thank you for that. Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that is accomplished tonight out of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all the divine healings that happened last night, all of the deliverances that happened last night. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? I just want to praise God because I know that I'm here. I know that the people we prayed for last night are here, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the people that we delivered, that you delivered last night, are delivered today, and we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that were answered last night. We just praise you for it, Lord, because you're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I just want you all to agree with me. My
Come
lower
on.
back muscles are really stiff and tight. Shall I say tight? I think it's just from bending over a lot, maybe pulling weeds or grass out of the garden. Anyway, it's the only thing I could figure out why it's like that. So I just rebuke that I'm not under the curse. I command those muscles to loosen up in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. All tightness, all soreness is gone in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord, because you bore it all.
Thank you,
And in
Jesus.
you is no
Thank you, Lord.
curse. And I'm not under the curse. I'm in you. I did you and I thank
Amen.
you and I
Thank you,
praise you.
Jesus.
Glory,
Praise
hallelujah.
you, Father
Amen.
God.
Thank
You're an
you, Jesus.
awesome God. Thank you, Lord, that she is completely healed. And we believe it. We know it's already done. She did, and all the symptoms are gone too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for doing your healing power. Also, infusing David with energy, also, Lord, with strength. And Lord, we thank you that it makes no difference how much he sleeps, it's going to be enough. And we praise you for it, Father, that he is completely regenerated by the power and the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, this is. Yeah, I said go ahead.
Well, I just got to thinking, yesterday I felt it dawned on me at one point. I felt like I was attached with what witchcraft in my body because there was all this stuff going on with me yesterday. Anyway, and another thing, it like my the back my, the thing with my back all of a sudden it seemed like it kicked in. But there's also my right foot, like it's not my ankle, it's almost like the tendons or whatever that go up into my muscles. All of a sudden they feel like sore, like I pulled something or whatever, but it doesn't really hurt except when I walk, it feels tight. And it's just like, okay, this is, I want you to agree with me this too. I command all witchcraft off me, all curses off me. I've already prayed this, but I want you to agree with me. And all these sudden things must go in the name of Jesus. All pain. I'm not under the curse, period. No matter what, I'm healed of everything. And so are you all. You're all not under the curse. We're
Thank you,
all healed in
Jesus.
the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we are in you, and in you is no sin. We're not in sin. We're not under the curse because there's no curse in you, and there's no sickness in you, Lord. There's no curse in the heavens, and there's no sickness in the heavens. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that it's all done. By your stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. And we take back what the enemy has tried to steal. And we have perfect health and healing and DNA restoration. I just praise you and thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you,
I'm done.
Jesus. All right. Hey, Pat. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Matt, go ahead. No, okay. I saw you do that. I didn't. I guess you was waving at somebody. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Okay. We have a good song for tonight. And let me see. Okay, you got it, Jimmy. Thank you, Lord.
Marching out in victory, hallelujah,
sing Jesus,
cause Jesus crushed the enemy,
with authority,
now he's underneath my feet,
that's right,
I'm marching out in victory,
hallelujah.
Man, thank you, Jesus. I had somebody text me wanting to know if I wanted some food. Yeah, of course I do. All right. I always loved that song. That was a good song. And I'll be glad when Matthew and them learn that song and bring it into the realm of local.
I'm sure it's on the list.
Yeah, okay, good. Praise God. We are free, healed and delivered and set free. Boy, Satan's underneath our feet too, isn't he? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just love you. We thank you, Father, for your leadership role in our lives, bringing us into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for that. All right. Anybody else got something? Missy, don't you have something? No? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I didn't know if that's what you were referring to. I've been reading in Sanctification for Before Blessing in chapter 7. And there's this one paragraph, maybe two paragraphs, that are really good. The one in particular. If I'm guessing the PDF is the same, or if anybody has it in PDF, or if you have the book. But I'm on page 174 at the very bottom. Paragraph at the very bottom.
Give me a minute. Let me get there.
Okay.
174.
174.
Yeah, and it's Proverbs 16:7 is what it starts with.
Wait. Okay. Down at the bottom of the page, right?
Right. Proverbs 16:7. Y'all right?
Yep.
Julie
No,
not.
just a minute. Wait on Judy. Hey, Joe, did Joe just get in, Vanita? Somebody put it in the chat, I guess. We're in sanctification before blessing. Missy's got something she wants to relate to us, Joe and Benita. It's if you've got the book, it's on page 174 down at the bottom where it says Proverbs 16 and 7.
I just put a
Did
link
you? Yep, I was
in
just
the
fixing.
chat for you.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Julie did it.
You there,
I didn't.
Jules? I'm there. Sorry, I kept missing my mic.
Thank you.
Everybody ready? Okay, Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There is a place when we have learned sanctification and have separated ourselves from the world, separated from dead apostate religion and idolatry. And this is a place where God says, enough is enough. This is my servant, and he doesn't need more. I
Anymore.
know some of you don't believe that, but we have to believe what the Bible says. We can't believe what men say. We can't put limits on God. People may think they're being humble when they say, we can't be perfect. Well, I agree that we can't be perfect, but that doesn't mean God can't make you perfect. God called Job perfect and he called other people perfect. Can God do it? Are you saying God can't do it? He's the one who always does it. All he wants from us is faith. He gives us a free gift to see. He gives us a free gift, you see. If you're saying that God is able to make you perfect, but he won't do it, that's not much salvation, is it? And maybe your idea of what constitutes being perfect is wrong. Maybe you should find out what the biblical idea of perfection is for you, because it's obviously not the same for everyone. I had a very wise brother explain it to me one time when I was young in the Lord. He said it's like playing a piano. You hit this key and it makes the sound it's supposed to make. And you hit this other key and it makes the sound that it's supposed to make. So we are not all the same, but we all fulfill our place. So we are not all the same, but we all fulfill our place. When we're not looking at our neighbor, but we're doing what God is calling us to do, and we're walking in His holiness, separate from sin, separate from the world, separate from idolatry and religion. That's where we are when we are perfect. And that's when the glory of God is manifested. It really encouraged me, that last piece, because, so many times the enemy will say, well, look at that person. You're not doing what they're doing, or you're not, that person spends hours and hours and hours in prayer, and and da 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 da, and it's like for instance, mamas that have little ones can't spend hours and hours and hours in prayer dedicated just to that. I realize, okay, we're supposed to pray without ceasing, but that's just, to me, just always talking to the Lord, but or boy, I wish I can't pray as good as that person. I should be able to pray as good as that person, or whatever, Sometimes people use bigger words and have a bigger vocabulary, but that doesn't mean they're a better prayer than somebody else, is what I've realized, and just things like that, I've realized.
Jesus never was into big flowery sounding prayers. He just cut right down to the chase.
Yeah, he was really simple. And that's encouraging,
Yeah.
And, like I've realized too, some people have jobs. They can't spend hours and hours and hours just in prayer. There are times I'm sure that they can do that. But, for instance, when you read that one thing, Michael, about what was that? Testimony from over in China, whatever, how they did, and there were ones that spent, hours and hours, and they were older men, and they were retired, and they didn't have jobs, and so on and so forth, So it's like,
Well, the reason that they stayed in prayer, they were elderly, they didn't have a job, and they had the time, and they focused all their job was to set the standard for the rest of the church, and the elders would come to them for their direction because the Lord would talk through them. That's right.
So, I've learned every member is important, and some seem to have these big jobs, these, as far as how do I say this, a larger ministry or a ministry that's more outwardly seen, but or function, every I've realized that we can all cast out demons, we can all pray for healing the sick and blah blah blah. But there's some people that I've realized are gifted, and they function in that and there's particular things more, or whatever. And so it's just like, I realize the enemy just wants you to get looking at other people, just like it says. When we're not looking at our neighbor, but we're doing what God is calling us to do, and we're walking in his holiness, separate from sin, separate from the world, separate from idolatry and religion, then that's where we are when we're perfect, and that's when the glory of God is manifested. So anyway, I just want to
Amen.
share that. It really encouraged me. And
Everybody's got a different function in the body.
right, and everybody.
Every go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, you're right. Everybody's important.
Well, all I was going to say is everybody has a function in the body, regardless of how big or how little it is, but it's just as important. Everybody has a function in the body, and everything that they do is important. And you're going to be known by your fruits of who, the fruits that you put forth, and that's the fruit of Jesus in your life. Praise God. Everybody's got a chance, don't they? All
Yes, thank you, Lord.
right, go ahead, Missy. Did you have something else that you wanted to?
Well, I was thinking about reading the next paragraph too, because it's pretty good. It says, that last part, and that's when the glory of God is manifested, and then it goes on to talk a little bit of, about that glory.
Let's do something first. Let's see if anybody has anything to add to what you've already said, and then we'll go to the next one, okay? You mind? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, but what was coming to me, Missy, is the devil is always trying to get us to compare ourselves with somebody else and thinking we don't measure up. They don't matter. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is. He's just like, what are you doing? He's always trying to pull that. Yeah, he's trying to get us in any kind of contention and jealousy and and just but 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about the different parts of the body, the lowlier ones, the more uncomely ones, and but the body is still needed. You need every in your physical body, you still need everything in your physical body, and that's how God created the body of Christ too. We all have something to do in the body. And there are many people who are prayer intercessors And you don't necessarily see them, but it's like where Jesus said, it's like go into your prayer closet and pray and, and be seen only of God, not of men. And, great is your reward. So it's kind of like whatever God's calling you to do, we're supposed to do it is unto the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever work we do, whatever it is, even if it's in our, our secular jobs, whatever it is do it unto the Lord. And if we do it unto the Lord, he's going to reward us. It don't matter what it is. If we're doing it unto him, we're doing it with the right heart attitude, and that's what he's looking for. He doesn't want us to, well, I got to do better because someone else is getting all the limelight right now, and I want more, or whatever. It's just take that. We want to be like Jesus, who took no glory for himself. He pointed to the Father. And if anyone's, seeking the glory of man, that's where the reward's going to be. But the enemy's always trying to get you in pride or your self-works and wanting to be seen of man somehow and getting recognition for something you say or you do or all that. And because that's how he thinks and that's how he wants to do. I was just reading, I think it was in Isaiah 14 about that. He wanted to exalt himself to be higher than the stars of heaven and above the throne of God. And that's that pride. And that's what he wants to get us thinking that way too. Anyhow, that's what I was thinking, missing when you're sharing all that.
Amen. Go ahead, Paula.
I was, believe it or not, I was asking the Lord whether I should share something tonight related to perfection. And so Missy answered that that question. But the I guess the first thing, because what I was thinking about this morning was, there, like, number one, where I was starting was, what is perfection? I know we say, be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect, as Jesus commanded us. But what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? That be God. You be God. Be perfect. What does it mean? I mean, you have, I have to bring things down to define those terms, define what does that mean? Perfect. The word perfect means completed. It means, I'm going to flip back over here, Mike, because I wrote down a few scriptures. It means having reached its end or completed or to be perfect or complete. Jesus said, ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect in Matthew 5:48. Paul talking about love in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the aspect of, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, when it has become completed, the parts all mesh into one and it becomes one and it is complete. And these are all just kind of descriptions from the word. Philippians chapter 3, Paul was saying, which is always thought was kind of interesting, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, he's talking to the Philippians, and he's talking about focusing upon the goal of Christ. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that which I also was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. So there's kind of a little clue there, that Paul's striving for perfection or completeness is to complete what Christ laid hold of him for, what Christ created his part to be, what or his revelation, his presentation of the life of Christ, his part of that package. And Paul was saying, I press on toward that goal. Chapter and verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect or complete, be thus minded. And if anything you're otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. In other words, he says, as many of us as are perfect. In the verse before, he said, I strive on for that perfection. But in this verse, he says, as many of us as are perfect. So I think the first, he is putting forth the concept or the principle that we press on toward that perfection, but it has already been accomplished by Christ on the cross in us. And that perfection has already been completed, as in Hebrews 10:14. In chapter 10 in Hebrews, he's talking about sanctification and perfection, and what Christ has done for us in this process, etc. But in verse 14, he said, by one offering he hath perfected one offering, that one offering being him on the cross 2,000 years ago, hath, past tense, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So it has already been done. So anyway, what I was, number one, trying to, define, I think it's important to define exactly what that perfection is. I think David, in that section that Missy read there, mentioned, that we need to go back and find out what is it, what actually is that perfection that he's talking about. And I know in my study, I have, and everybody has met, in matter of fact, Missy mentioned it as she was talking, that I she doesn't have time. Well, let's put it this way. She doesn't look, in her, walking with the Lord, does not look like others that have a lot of time, or others that are gifted in other things, or etc. And of course, Michael, confirm that we are all different parts of one body. And so the thought would be, you and I, as we learn to live in that completion, or that, that perfection, we weren't created, the hand wasn't created to perform like the eye, and the ears like the hand. We were all created to perform in the body with a different perspective. What is that perspective? That perspective, in its completed form, is the perspective of Christ in us. It's that, I believe, that route, that releasing and expression of Christ in that particular aspect of the body. It's completed. It's all Christ and none of my earthly nature. It's all Christ's nature and none of my earthly nature. And it's each one of us being released to express the life that we were created to express, the perspective of Christ, of God through Christ in that particular perspective. So one of the things that is probably foundational to knowing what it is, do we believe that it is attainable in this life? Do we believe that it's actually attainable? Because I can tell you right now, a vast majority of what we call the church doesn't believe that that is actually attainable, that it's only attainable after we die and go to heaven, that life of perfection and completeness of the expression of Christ as he has created us, and that fullness of Christ being revealed through us, is not commonly believed to be possible in this world. Therefore, it isn't possible to those that believe that. It isn't possible to those who refuse to believe, or don't believe that it's possible. But if, of course, if you choose not to believe that it is possible to come into this completeness and this perfection in Christ, whatever it is that he defines that means, if you don't believe that, then you have to struggle over some of the verses, especially the first one that I recited, in Matthew 5, when Jesus tells us to be ye perfect, even as our Father is perfect in heaven, and many other verses. So, but the thing that I guess I was keying on today is that part that I just happened to read there in, I think, Corinthians 13, where it said, when that which is perfect or completed is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And in something that is in part, well, let me think about that for a minute. So the thing that is that was hitting me today, and I read some testimonies from other people, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but it has to do with what Hebrews chapter 10 was talking about, that Christ perfected them forever, them that are sanctified. And so there's a connection, an obvious connection between completeness in Christ or perfection and sanctification. And what is sanctification? Basically, sanctification is separation from sin. And so we coming into this world and being born again into Christ, we are a being and a person that is finds themselves living in two realms, living, we come in and we quickly learn how to confess our sins, and be cleansed through the benefit of 1 John 1:9, and we quickly learn that to grow that thereby by consuming that word, and the more word we consume, the more we find that we are battling with certain inner forces and inner sinfulness, I guess you might say, within us, and we enter into a battle. And so now we're fighting in a spiritual realm and confessing our sins, and we're living in this world, and yet we have this other thing happening within us. That I'm sure I'm not saying anything new here, just bringing up about a point. But when Jesus and right now in this process of being sanctified, we're in this battle. What is that battle? Is it an outward force here that's coming in and battling against us? Yes, it is. But what is it doing? It is stirring up and manipulating and influencing something within us that is an inner environment that, if tempted properly, will produce sin. And the scripture says that is that inner sinfulness, the sin nature, the life of Adam that we have inherited from our fathers. I know I spoke about this probably months ago, who knows? But the Bible teaches that there are two forms of sin. There are two forms of sin. There is the sins or the sinfulness that is a committed act, whether it be anger or hatred or faction, or it comes out in many different forms of whatever. It's a sin committed, an offense committed against someone else or against God or both. And it is something that that is an action of some form, whether it be words or whether it be deeds or some sort of an action. And that is a sin which must be confessed in order to be forgiven. But there is another form of sin that the Bible talks about, and that is the old man, the sinful nature that we received from Adam. That sinful nature is not an act that has been committed, which can be confessed and cleansed by the blood. It is an environment within our life. It is a somewhat dormant environment that, when certain temptations come in, they can take residence, so to speak. If we are not vigilant and reject it, it can take residence in that sinful nature, and that temptation can create an action of sin as a result of that. That inward nature is not something that can be confessed, because that nature is simply lying dormant, being an environment that is ready to receive the necessary temptation to commit sin. The only thing that in the answer that God gives for that environment is death, is crucifixion. And so we have to, knowing that there's two forms, and quite frankly, it's hard sometimes to see the difference between the two in the scripture, because one is the foundation and leads to the other. And Jesus speaks about that in the Gospels when he says, if you have even thought of adultery, another woman or whatever, you've committed adultery already in your heart. He's telling us and the disciples there that no, sin doesn't start with the activity. Sin starts with the motivating environment within you. So enough about that, but the point being, Jesus, I believe, in the gospel, in his work at the cross, came not only to provide us forgiveness of sins, but also came to provide us sanctification or separation from that sin nature by putting it to death on the cross. And so it becomes necessary for each one of us to define and identify how that can be applied, how we can apply that, because once we, it is applied, I believe by faith in, well, everything that God is by faith, but by faith, that application of his death on the cross being applied properly from his perspective, through his perspective in our life, will provide the necessary death and separation and completeness, I believe, for us as an individual in Christ. So I might be beating a dead horse here on this thing right now. So anyway, that was my thoughts. And thank you, Missy, for bringing that up. That was good.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Pat brought up, that in Matthew 5:48, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so I felt to go to the verses that are before that. And I went back to 43, and it says, and one thing that Pat said about, they say that people say that that's when you go to heaven that you'll be perfect. And when I started reading here, I had to kind of chuckle to myself. Starting 43, I've heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now wait a minute. There's no enemy and there's no hate in heaven. And so it's it's for here and now, as I've learned. And then it goes on it. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. Well, I'm not going to be praying for anybody when I'm in heaven, or for eternity when, everything's whatever. We're not going to be praying for each other. Is my thought, I don't know. And that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Well, what came to me was is, Jesus is speaking these things, and these are the things that he does, and he's not expecting me to he's telling me these, he's not expecting me to be these things, and he's not, So that's just some things that were coming to my mind. Son to your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Once again, this is for how I am supposed to be here on this earth, and Jesus is setting that example for me. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? And there you therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Anyway, it's just some thoughts that came to me as I was reading that. He's given me these guidelines, these what it looks like to be perfect. That's what he's saying here. This is what it looks like to be perfect. It's a lot of things, but my thought is just being obedient to God and doing his will, like his calling, obeying his word, and that's being perfect, because I can't obey His word, unless I love him, because that's the proof of my love is my obedience. So anyway, we can go in circles on that. So that was just some of my thoughts.
Amen. Go ahead now, Judith.
I was thinking too, remember David saying that if we're walking in all the light that we have, and we're obedient to that, which we know, we're walking in perfection. We're walking perfectly before God because we can't do any better than that. And I can't be better than what I am. And it's all only by faith. It's like bearing forth the fruit a hundredfold. I'm claiming that's mine, and that's what I'm gonna achieve to that because God gave it to me, because of Jesus' sacrifice. It's not anything I can do it myself. I can't make myself perfect, like he said. He's like, we can't be perfect, but make me, And that's what, like, the trials of our faith are about. Let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire and lacking in nothing. And that's, I think, if you look at that word too, I think it's maturity, because we don't stay children. We grow up, and we become more like Christ, which is, the very image of our Father, right? So it's perfect. And he's doing it, he just wants our faith, Like we're all gonna attain to it because God's given it to us. It's mine. It's my God-given right. And I'm claiming it, all of it, all the blessing, all of his divine nature, because he gave it to me. It's all in Christ. It's in the word, it's in my heart, it's all a faith thing. Don't let the devil steal it from you. It's yours. That's what I keep telling myself. It's mine and devil can't take it. I am keeping it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Amber, did you have your hand up? No, I thought you did. Okay. You want to pass by on that? Listen, here's something that I ran across just now from 2020. Debbie might remember this. I don't know if she does or not. Debbie says Jesus was, that's very appropriate for right now. Debbie said Jesus was giving me the word tonight throughout worship time. There was just such an anointing. And she said, he said, just believe me in all you do, move in me, be ready for me. Oh, speak to me, my people. Give me your hearts and don't stop. Let me know you want me, that you want to know me more and more. Do you want to know me? Show me. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. Give back to me what I have given to you. That cry I put in your heart, give it back to me. Let me know, or let me know you. Let me be your song. Not only do you want more of me, I want more of you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, Lord. Missy, you're still unmuted.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. I was hearing you moaning and groaning, man. All right, Pat, go ahead. I'm just kidding, Missy.
So and that was very good, by the way. It reminds me of, I'm going to swing back there real quick. Because believe it or not, that's where I started. It reminds me of Ezekiel 37. Wrong. Ezekiel 36. when the Lord is giving us a, I believe, a type. Well, it's multiple types, but this is a story of Israel in and God blessing them and giving them his life, his word, and then they go out and they squander it, and God scatters them throughout the earth, and then brings them back. And it's a picture of, and God basically saying in that chapter, I'm not doing this because of your sake. I'm doing this for my great name's sake. And it is the prophecy and the promise, the prophecy of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant relationship. But this whole story is also a type and a picture of the church having received the gospel, the truth, that new covenant relationship, did exactly the same, and they were scattered out throughout all of the earth, and they polluted the truth of that gospel, and it became a harlot covering the earth. And God is bringing it back, and he is rebuilding that very thing, and will consummate that rebuilding in the great tribulation, or the tribulation that's coming upon us. And this, all these pictures are a type of what happens to us as on the personal level, as we come into Christ, we find Jesus, we receive him, we receive the Spirit, and we usually go through a very positive, exciting, fulfilling, eye-opening, learning process for and dive wholeheartedly into his word and into his truth and into walking with him and learning new things. And many that then find themselves through that process going into a wilderness experience, so to speak, where there's a battle, and there's battles and struggles, and overcoming is necessary, and starting to see our own inner weaknesses and the things that are functioning within us that need to be taken out and removed, etc. And in this battle, I believe that there is a later revelation for each of us that, and I guess I have to say this on a personal level, that we experience failures that we experience and are beginning to see that the greatest enemy is not outside. It's that greatest enemy I was referring to before as that old, dormant, dead nature of sin, which has subsided and hidden itself within us. And in seeing that, there becomes a, I believe there's a greater need for a deeper work from God. And I can throw many, many authors and many writers that have written about this condition, but there is a deeper need that is raised because of our own inner awareness of this weakness in the presence of this dormant sinful nature that still function, that still has a place, maybe taking a place of a traitor, not always present, not always visible, doesn't always see, but just at the right time, he can, you don't know that he won't pop in there and undercut your faith, and create failure in your life in some form, or a lack of faith, or doubt, or anxiety, or whatever it would be. And so this verse in this end verse here at the very end, I'll just take you through a couple of the scriptures, what he's talking about here. In verse 22, he says, therefore, and the previous section of this chapter, he's saying, you guys took my word out into the world, you profaned it, you played the whoredom, and everything like that. But I had regard for my holy name, which is the house, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the nations, whither you went. 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, I do this not for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which ye have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will sanctify my great name. I will sanctify. I will separate my great name from sin, which has been profaned among the nations, in the which ye have profaned, and the in the midst of them, and the nations shall know, excuse me, that I am the Lord, saith the Lord Jehovah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Something that God is going to do in his people. Excuse me. And I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I'll give you the true gospel, the true word, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and all your idols, and I will cleanse you. With that clean, true, pure word, I will sprinkle that water on you and clean you and cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I know that we, I tended to think that this was what happened when I was born again. And I'm going to say it did happen as far as I was aware of, as far as my awareness was there. The things that I was not aware of, I couldn't be aware of, I was ignorant of, I had no idea about those things, but this took place within me, and I'm sure everybody that has come to the Lord has entered in to receive this new heart and receive this his spirit within us. And he took away a stony heart out of our flesh and gave us a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. So there's something miraculously powerful that God does within us, not w only within his word, bringing his word into our life, but in changing this stony heart of flesh and creating within us a new heart of flesh that functions and receives and walks effortlessly in that new, in that word. And he says in verse 33, thus saith the Lord, in the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places to be builded. The land that was desolate shall be tilled, whereas it was a desolation in the sight that all that passed by, etc., etc. He is rebuilding. He is going to rebuild his temple in his way within us. But there's down at the very end here, he says in verse 37, thus saith the Lord, after having presented all these things that he is going to do as a result of new heart, that new water and cleansing, and that new heart and that new spirit coming within us, he is going to rebuild the waste places. He says, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, etc. So when I think Michael mentioned that it is a necessary part or a necessary participation at whatever level you go through in awareness, there's that necessary part where we need to cry out to God and ask him to do this thing within us. And so that is my prayer for us, for me and us, that wherever we find ourselves at in this process is to, once we see the desolation at whatever level, once we see the desolation, to call out to God and ask him to change it within us, to create that sanctified perfection within us, to rebuild the waste places within us. Because I believe that ultimately where the Lord wants to take us, what am I trying to say? We can't do it without him. We can't do it without him actively doing something within our hearts, in our lives. This is what I am feeling. I know for the last few months at least, it's probably got more intense here in the last weeks and months, but this is what I'm feeling, that God wants to take us to a place that only He can take us, and it will require our seeking Him and asking Him and inquiring of Him to take us there. So, anyway, excuse me. Think I'm through.
Okay. I want to read one thing. Andrew, you mind if I read this one thing? I think it'll encourage it, but Isaiah 62 and 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. David says, what is the ultimate fulfillment of our salvation? We have been saved in spirit. We are being saved in soul. And we're going to be saved in body. When the Lord comes, his reward is with him. There are going to be some people who are never going to die because they have walked in holiness, and the Lord is going to give them that new body, that new life. Isaiah 62 and 11, glory to God. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Glory to God. Praise God. Zion hasn't been sought for, it hasn't been sought after. People have been content with their apostate religions, but there is, listen to this, there is a place of holiness. There's a place of walking in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, a place where his provision will meet every need. And that place in Zion will be sought out by those who understand God's plan. Others are quite satisfied to play in religion, to play with one of the daughters of the harlot. But God has a great plan, and he's going to restore his people. He's going to deliver his people. He's going to separate his people, and he's going to bring to pass all these promises. The Lord said, don't cease to remind me of this, glory be to God. Glory be to God. That's what I'm talking about. That's encouragement from the Lord God himself. Praise God forevermore. It's not us that does it. It's him that does it. Praise God forevermore. Woo, my. Somebody ought to shout. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. Okay, Andrew, go ahead. Thank you for
Okay,
allowing me that.
that's you know, Pat was mentioning some things over there. I believe it was Ezekiel, and you know, he talks about the sanctification with the water. Well, we know what it says in Galatia 5 and 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. He mentioned also in Philippians chapter 3, you know, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal to you. Only whereunto ye have attained, by the same rule also walk. Even this rule that God's going to attain it for you. You know, when you go and turn the page there and go to chapter 4, it says something there about prayer, you know. It says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That's a lot of understanding. All your understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So who's going to do that? The peace of God's going to do that. When you go back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 3, you know, it mentions something there in the last two verses of chapter 3. It also mentions something. Now, to the one able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, you know, it's above what we can even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And of course, we're not ones who does the works. We rest in the works that God does. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk it. If he's preparing it, then he's going to do it exceeding abundantly all things we ask or think. We can ask and think a lot according to the power that worketh in us. To him the glory. After all, he will glorify us for him, for his sake, for the sake of his son and the cross and his plan. And to him the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen. You know, Father God cares for us, and he wants to give us these things that we want to be more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ, more and more like the sons and daughters of God that we are, the people of Zion. And but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So if he's even guarding you, then we need to hear from the Lord. And, you know, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So there's a lot of things there that it's all dependent upon the Lord, God the Father. Fathers are usually very protective of their sons and daughters and their children and their little children and their babies, you know. And so I just think that we got some things here that we're going to have to be attentive to hear. God over any man out there, especially like I consider, because there is a mystery Babylon, and there was also a Babylon, that hopefully, like he dealt with King Nebuchadnezzar and humbled him, that there might be some people out there in public office that are also hearing from the Lord. And how would they hear that? I believe the Lord will do it the way he wants to do it. And he can hear it from whatever the Lord wants to do for him to hear it, or for that person to hear it. Because you know what it says in the last book. You know that there is a wine that's not the right wine of her fornication. That destroys the whole earth, you know, destroys all the people in a position. But there are still the people, the remnant, that have the right wine. And that lifestyle that we are to have, of course, we need to depend on our Father to give us the life we need to live. Because wine is usually an emblem for overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. But when it's in the context of the verse, when the wine is used in a different way, then we have to realize that. We have to realize that these things, and we see these things even now to a certain extent. And to the greatest extent, actually, you know, why is it that sometimes when they think of something in the nation that's not right, it suddenly becomes part of the church when it's not supposed to be? And how long has this been going on? You know, there's things where people like to throw blame, but I don't think we should look at it that way. I think we have to get back to Christ and let God be found, the one who does it all through us. If he's over all, in all, and through all, then let him do his all in all. And kind of like scary at the same time as exciting, because you remember when you first heard the gospel, you had 101 questions, you were all excited to serve God. And did we lose some sort of communication with him? Did our minds get foggy or something? I don't think so. I think he's ready always to tell us things. Sometimes it's hard to hear things, but this is why we have fellowship together. This is why we read the word. This is why we pray. This is why we even praise God. I sometimes like to read the words that are worship songs, you know. I like that song from the 1500s, you know, where "Be thou my vision," you know. So you go over every word, you know, it's not by sight, but by faith. So vision is a faith thing, not a sight thing. And I don't like when they say blind faith, because it doesn't say that, you know. There are sayings that are destructive, and some sayings are more destructive than others. For some people, depending on the geographical region, I guess, when you say blind faith, they know what you're talking about. But in other regions, they might argue a bit with you on that, because, you know, it's not by sight, but it's by faith. There's vision words, there's look up, you know, there's look to the Lord and let him give you his salvation, you know. 45:22 of Isaiah, I can't remember the exact words, but they're there, and it tells you to look up and see God's salvation coming. And should we always we have another book, Salvation Instantaneous and Progressive. Shouldn't we always be? And who progresses us unto the sanctification that he wants us at? You know, God makes all things. God builds all things. Like he said, I will dwell in them and walk. And he's teaching you to believe that he's in you. Is he not? Like, Jesus even said, both of them, the Father and Jesus is in you. If any love me, that's agape, obedience, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode. If he's going to walk in you, he's got to live in you. He's living in you. Don't say he isn't, because he has to live in you. He lives in you with Christ, and he lives with you, within you, with the three witnesses that you have, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And we witness according to them. We witness according to the grace that God gives us. We witness according to the God-breathed word, especially the ones we were given doctrine and instruction in righteousness, and corrected and rebuked. So glory to God. You know, he does that for us. You know, I don't think he's out there ready to give us a SWAT, you know, but if you need one, you're going to get one. You know, we're supposed to love each other, and the Christ you have in you should be shared, very much so. Even if it's the littlest of things, we have to give back to that youthful exuberance of being led by the Lord when he warns us and tells us and gives us questions. You know, you get an answer and you get five more questions, but you know, that's the Lord God leading us, guiding us as any father would a son. Even, you know, if you have a son that's in the same job that you're doing, you know all the ropes of doing that job. If he's an engineer and your son becomes an engineer, then you're gonna have a better engineer, because you're gonna teach him everything you know about engineering. So the father wants to teach you how to be a Jesus Christ. You know, for the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So he's going to teach you about his new life, the life of his son, what he expects from you. And even the one who's closer to you than a brother that's in you is going to do the same. Because we're asking him, we're adopted. We have to ask our big brother how to live properly as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And of course, we get instruction. Even Peter got instruction before he had the blood of the Lamb. Was not Jesus saying that to him? God the Father revealed that to you, Peter, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And, you know, he said lots of things too, you know, and of course he said something that goofed up later, but, you know, we have a stronger covenant than he had at that time too. So there is a time of rendition in those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we come in all the way there in the book of Acts as Gentiles, but we love our brethren who are Hebrew and of any other nationality or language out there. And we would like to see everyone come to the Lord. And we have that desire from our Father. So praise and glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Missy, did you want to
read that something? Next paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay. Isaiah 60:19. The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto you. But the Lord will be unto you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. He's talking about a people who have a glory, which is a shining forth. The glory he's talking about is the glory of God, shining forth from them. You know, God's people have a light that the world doesn't have. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, it says, Isaiah 60:1, arise, shine, for your light is come. He's talking to Zion again. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light. Woohoo! In other words, Zion will be like a lighthouse. The nations are going to see that light and run to it as a place of provision, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, it doesn't say anything here about God doing away with the sun and the moon, does it? It just says they won't need it. The natural man needs light on this earth in order to see, because light reflects off objects, and that's what our eye picks up. But do the righteous walk by sight? No, they don't. So it's not necessary for God to do away with the sun and the moon. I don't think the scripture even says that. You know, a person who doesn't walk by sight no longer needs the light of the moon or the light of the sun because the glory of God lights them. Revelation also says the same thing about Zion. Revelation 21, 23. And the city, this is speaking of Zion, the bride, has no need of the sun. It doesn't say the sun won't be there. It just says the sun won't be needed. Neither of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it. If you're not walking by sight, then you're walking as a Christian, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. Revelation 22:5. There shall be night no more. He's talking about the city. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall be, for the Lord God shall give them light. And they, the bride, shall reign forever and ever. Now, some people say, oh, that's just in the millennium, David. Oh, no, it's not. When we are supposed to stop walking, when are we supposed to stop walking by sight? In the millennium? If you wait that long, you won't be qualified to be in Zion. It's here that we have to be qualified. And Isaiah 60 tells us that in the tribulation period, God's people won't need the light of the sun nor light of the moon. And Psalm 89:35. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as the faithful witness in the sky. So, as long as the sun and the moon are in the sky, we're going to have a King David. How long do you think that is? How long do you think Jesus is going to reign on the throne of David? It will be forever.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and after all the ever, amen. Thank you, Lord God. All right, any comments? That's good news, ain't it? Woohoo! Glory to God. Yeah, Julie.
When you're talking about the light, you know, Jesus is the light, and it says that a lot of places. And I was thinking about first chapter of John, he said, where John the Baptist said that he was not the light, but he witnessed that he was of the one who was the light, and he was the light of all men. You know, and the word, that's the word, and the word in us is light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So that's just kind of reaffirming what you were reading. The light is in us. The glory is in us. That's just a neat revelations that you know, those scriptures you start reflecting on and putting them all together. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be your light. You know that your light is in us to the world, that we're supposed to be a light to others. You know, and it's kind of like the lighthouse. You know, I think we've been, we cannot look like that. We're, you know, pointing the way for people who are in trouble, you know, towards the Lord. We can be a lighthouse in that regard to help people find their way out to the Lord. Amen.
You know, talking about the light and being able to see the light. How many of you have ever heard about people that got filled with the Holy Ghost and in a church setting and started running across the tops of the pews with their eyes closed? Huh? That's God. And that's the way He wants that.
I never
Yeah.
heard anything like that until I came to this ministry and heard it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a common thing in my understanding.
Well, wouldn't that be awesome? Said, what is he doing? He's got his eyes, look, he's got his eyes closed. He ain't missing a step. He turns around and goes back the other way on the tops of the pews.
And running
Glory to God.
backwards,
And running backwards.
and not
Yeah.
running over people.
Not hitting, not missing a lick. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the light that we live in. That's the light that we have available to. That is the light of Jesus Christ. There is no misstep in him, glory to God. Ooh, my. Yep, that's a good one, Pat. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Ooh, that's exactly right. You nailed that one. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Since Andrew mentioned it, I would like to play a song. Be Thou My Vision from the 6th century. That's a long time ago, but it's a good song and I love it. So we're going to play it if y'all don't mind. Let's see if I can do this. Where'd my share go? All right, let's do it this way. Nope. Okay, let's see. Yeah, here it is.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy prayer my life. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, my dignity, thou my delight, thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. My heart, High King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
That was pretty good. That was by a Celtic band. Thank you, Lord. That comes another one. All right. Anybody else got something they want to add to what we've already said? It's good. It's the. Yeah. Amen. Know, the Lord has been telling us from a long time ago to draw nigh unto Him. And it seems to be in my heart, my spirit, to be more and more are drawing to Him, that He wants done now. He wants us to give time to Him, all the time that you can, all the time. I command these little gnats out of here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Just a little thing to add on that. A lamp, I was reading Faraday says that a lamp is not brought to be under a basket. In other words, a lamp is no use, and a basket turn around is no use. When you put it under a bed, in other words, you're not in the race. And when he said, you must put it on a lampstand. In other words, you have to put it on Jesus. I have to be, Jesus must be your standing. That's what you must be. That's why only the light that can shine. Jesus is your standing. Just add that. Thank you.
Amen. Jesus needs to come alive in us, doesn't he? Come alive in us, Jesus. We do that by getting more into Him. Thank you, Jesus. I believe we're all doing it. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like God's fixing to do something really, really good here shortly, very shortly. I know that that's been said for years now, but I just believe in my spirit that God's fixing to do some marvelous things, wonderful things. I'm getting excited. I don't know about y'all, glory to God. I'm gonna get excited. I can do that. I'm that kind of guy. I just like to get excited about Jesus. And I like to get encouraged too. How many of you like encouragement more than you like the other? I do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love it when the Lord encourages us. Thank you, Lord. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. You'll have to unmute. There we go.
I just want to tell you about the encouraging verse in Hebrews chapter 6. So strong encouragement, it says there. Oh, come on, where is it? I know it's in here somewhere, chapter 6 in Hebrews. Can anyone find it? Come on, there it is, 18. By two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And of course, that hope is sure and firm in the next verse. And I think it's in more so in the ASV. No, actually, it's the NENT. Yeah, sure and firm, in which we have as the soul's anchor, a hope both sure and firm. You know, there's that song about the soul's anchor. We have an anchor steadfast and sure when the billows roll, standing deep and firm in the Savior's love. Those Baptists, they can sing some pretty good songs sometimes, you know. So you don't mess with them. You gotta love them.
Amen. Go ahead, Debbie.
I just had a question. Sometimes I get kind of just overcome with, like, I'll hear Andrew spit out these verses. I'm looking them up, you know. Oh, this is good, and that's good, oh, that's good, you know. And when I do my own reading, I'll go from here to there, the here to there. It's like, well, I want a real wise way to just use the word and take it in so that I'm not having this and that and this and that from all over the place, and not remembering anything. As far as retaining scriptures, you know, in my mind. And it's like, so I just wonder what some of you do when you want to really get in the word. And I read, but it's like I'm from here to there and over there to here. And it's like, if I start a book, next thing you know, something else will come to me or something I'll hear and I go, oh, I'm going to read that. And I'll leave what I was doing and go to this other book. It's like, and I just, like tonight, I was just thinking, oh, it's just, there's just so much to your word. I gotta get all this in me. It's like, I want to be able to word without word with. I want to be able to be into the word without being discouraged, like you said, Michael. I want to be encouraged, and of course I am. There's also it comes that discouragement of, I'm not getting enough in because I've got, they're all clashing together. You know, seems like in my head. Anyway, I don't know if anyone understands that what I mean, but there's just so much of the word, and you want to try to get all at once, and you can't do that, I guess. It's just someone got to show me how to really.
Well, you know, what I did, I asked the Lord, can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I had done, Debbie, in the past is I've asked the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to study? And you already told me. He said the real good news, and this was months ago. And I'm kind of like you. I'll be reading real good news, and somebody will mention something else. Then I'll go over to that for a little bit and get that, but I'll always come back to the real good news because that's what the Lord told me to do. Now I go back over here because I want to hear some more encouragement words or whatever it is, but then I come back to the real good news because that's where the Lord wanted it. That's why I ask the Lord, what do you want me to study? What is it you want me to do? The real good news is what he told me. Now, I can get off on a rabbit trail like you're talking about, and like we all like to do.
Lots of them.
Huh?
I said lots of them. Yeah, lots of rabbit trails. So I get on.
Yeah, well, that's okay, but you always want to come back to the home plate, which to me is real good news. And I've already gone through it. I can't tell you how many times. I lost count a long time ago. But it's something that the Lord wanted me to do, and he wants me to learn. And you learn those scriptures by doing what he asked you to do because you get it in, you keep going. What do you want me to do now? Real good news. Then I get through with it, and I'll ask him, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Real good news. Get it in your spirit, is what he's telling me. Get the real good news in your spirit, and when you do that, you'll have it. Well, I don't know if I know it cover by cover. I don't know every word, but I know the theme of it for sure. You know, that is, what is it? It's a five-letter word. What? Yeah.
Grace.
No.
Faith. Grace. Faith. Grace.
F faith, faith, faith. FAITH. That's the well, grace too. Yeah. Okay. Praise
Agape.
God. Agape. Okay. There's another one. All them good
Jesus.
five letter words. Yeah. Yep. There you go. There you go.
I'm just thinking about just getting into the word itself, not.
I know.
I know
I
real good
know.
news, all those of course are great, but I wanted to get in this word itself. And I just want to know and feel in my heart that when I'm just start here to go here, I can stay there and know that God, you can give me whatever you want to give me from here to here, or until you tell me to stop. I don't can't seem to ever stay there. I just wind up going all over the place, and some things just don't want to stay inside me when I do that.
Well, start confessing that it will stay inside of you. Watch what happens.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, Judy.
And
Lord
I'm
will
in my
bring it to
mind,
you. The Lord will bring it to your attention when you need it. He said,
Yeah,
you read
done
it,
that.
it'll be there, and I'll bring it forward for you. He's done that to me, Debbie,
That's
so
true.
many times when back when I was preaching. I'd be out there and just start coming, just start talking, and the Lord would just bring these scriptures to my mind. I had one preacher say, how do you remember all of those scriptures? I said, I don't. The Lord brings it to my memory. And that's what he said. If
Does I know
you
that's
read
true.
it, if you read it when you need it, he'll have it. Yep. He's got a whole lot better memory than I do. Praise God. And I'm glad he does too. Praise God. But I have the memory of Christ, so I don't know how you can be any better than that. That's a good question. I'm glad you
Now,
brought it up.
Michael,
Go.
he reminds you.
Do
He
what? Go ahead.
reminds you, Michael, through the Holy Spirit. He reminds you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all things and remind you. So that's why
Yep.
he's got the memory, and you know.
Yeah, that's
He's
exactly
got all the
right.
memory.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Debbie, something helps me. Is if I want to stay in the New Testament, because I feel like that's where the Lord wants me, I'll just read from the Gospels to the end and try to stay there and keep a bookmark where I'm at. But there's times like when you go off on a subject or whatever and you want to study a scripture, and then next thing you know, you're in other scriptures regarding that topic or whatever it is that you go off on a different trail with. Try to keep your marker in your Bible about that's where I was in reading from, you know, this part in the New Testament to the end. That helps me. And I also like reading the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I like going back and reading some of the prophecies because they're so encouraging, like with what Missy was reading tonight in Isaiah. Isaiah is so encouraging. Yeah, so that helps me. You know, it's like, okay, where was I in the New Testament? You know, or the Lord just had me go back and just reread Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. So I got through that. You know, just the foundations of, you know, the church. And there were times I just went back and he kept having me reread Timothy, and he had me keep rereading Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, based on just stuff I was dealing with, you know, the suffering and the going through trials and obedience and what does the church leadership look like, and just where is the church and the foundational church, you know, the Corinthians first church, you know, well, Romans, but where Paul was teaching, you know, preaching the Romans and the Corinthian church and those kind of things. So it's just reestablishing things that I've read and reread and reread, but, you know, just, yeah. It still goes in, you know, still getting in there. And like Michael says, he brings it back to our remembrance when we need it, you know, and we're in a conversation with some stranger. It's just the fruit's right there because the word's in you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't condemn yourself. Don't let the enemy do it either.
No.
I was in, you know, 1 Peter and 2 Timothy tonight myself, or during the day today, Peter and 2 Timothy. And it's like that. I just feel the Lord needs me to be at rest. I think I just get too anxious. This is too good here. This is too good here. This is too good here. You know?
Yeah. So that's the best way to do it. It's just being rest. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, Joe, what you got, bro? We're about out of time. Well, no, we're already out of time. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll be short. No, I just want to say to Debbie, that's a good question because I was struggling with the same thing. Is I'm reading here and I get distracted from business and they said, but where I was now here, and it all changed altogether. And I just thought, I'm just going to read the word with it. Not going to get distracted. Just help me with this. That's why that's a good question. So help me. It's not. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?